we find shortly after Nisus Miriam that once again Klal Yisrael is complaining. And in Perichof Hey, or rather in Perichof Pasuk Hey, we find the following pasuk: Vehelame Helisunim Mitzrayim Lahavi Yisrael Lamakim Hara Hazeh. Why did you bring us up from Mitzrayim to bring us to this terrible place? Not a place of planting, nor of figs, grapes, or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Saying this is not a place where things can be planted, which we understand to mean that you can't plant or grow things in the Midbar. As a matter of fact, this idea is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Kisei Hadam, Simchat Ches, where it says that the earth of the desert is not acceptable to be used, the Kisei Hadam, because you need Ofer Haroi Litzmayach, you need earth in which things can, from which things can grow. And since in the Midbar, in the desert, things don't grow, therefore it's not kosher for Kisei Hadam. The desert, the Midbar, is not a place where things grow. Bahara, we have a difficulty here. In Parshas Shlach, we learned the story of the Mekai Sheshetzin. We learned the story of the man that was Mechal Shabbos by being a Mekai Shesh. The Gemara has a few explanations of Mekai Sheshetzin. One is that he cut a tzim. He was over Teilesha, cutting something which is growing from the ground. Another is that it was Ma'amer, which is gathering things, but Mokim Gidula. Either way, it appears that Eitzim did grow in the Midbar. And that would seem to contradict the idea of Loi Mekayim Zera, that the Midbar is a place where things do not grow. The second question. Here they complain, Loi Mekayim Zera. I understand Mayim Ayim Lishtais. They complain there's no water. For the last 39 and a half years they had water. And now with Miriam's death, they did not. However, the complaint of Loi Mekayim Zera, nothing can be planted or can grow here, is not something new. They lived that way 39 and a half years. Many of the people that were alive here knew nothing different. Why all of a sudden are they complaining now that it's not a place of Zera, not a place where things grow? And in general, it's not the nature of somebody to complain about something, about missing something, lacking something that he never experienced. So once again, since most of this generation grew up in the Midbar, why would they be complaining about Loi Mekayim Zera? So these three questions, contradiction to Mekayim Sheshetzin, the question of why they complained after 39 and a half years, and the question that it's not normal to complain about something you don't realize you're missing, all will be answered by learning the Arachayim HaKadosh in Parashat Shalach. The Arachayim there in the story of the Mekayim Sheshetzin, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Lamed Beis, says something very beautiful. The pasuk regarding the Mekayim Sheshetzin begins as follows: Vayim b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. The Jewish people were in the desert. Vayim tzuvish Mekayim Sheshetzin b'yev Shabbos. They discovered this Mekayim Sheshetzin. Arachayim HaKadosh is bothered that Vayim b'nei Yisrael b'midbar is extra. The Jews were in the midbar throughout Sefer b'midbar. Why repeat Vayim b'nei Yisrael b'midbar? And the Arachayim HaKadosh explains as follows: Says Vayim b'nei Yisrael b'midbar is telling us that when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar was different. Normally, nothing grew in the Midbar. When Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, the Eros Shel Miriam, the water which came from the stone in the Hus of Miriam, not only provided water, but the water it fertilized or gave nutrients and the ability to the earth of the Midbar to grow Kineis Upardes and beautiful orchards and gardens. And that was also part of the Eros Shel Miriam. And therefore, the pasuk here really is coming to answer our question. Vayim b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. B'nei Yisrael were in the Midbar. Here, when they were in the Midbar, Vayim tzuvish Mekayim Sheshetzin. Then it was possible to find somebody cutting eitz. Because the Eros Shel Miriam provided the ability to the earth there to give forth its growth, things that grow. And then all the questions are answered. The question of the Mekayim Sheshetzin, well, the Arachayim HaKadosh is coming to answer. The question of why, after 39 and a half years, they first complained here is because they had Berishamirim. And just as the Mayim Ayin Lishtais was a complaint because of losing the Bear Miriam, so too with this. And of course, that's why they were missing the fresh things that were growing, because Miriam had passed away, and the earth no longer had the ability to give forth the fruit or growth. And this, therefore, was the explanation of that complaint. A very beautiful part of the Archaim HaKadosh. Moving on, later in the parasha describes some of the traveling of Klal Yisrael. Shortly before Shvi, we find a pasuk of four words. We find Umi Midbar Matana. They traveled from the Midbar to a place called Matana. Then the pasuk of four words, Mimatana Nachmiel, Manechmiel Bamay. Chazal interpret this Gemara, I believe it's an Erevin, that this refers to the Torah, the Midbar Matana. The Gemara in Erevin says, "Im Ad Meisim Atmei Kamei Kemidbar Zeh Shakel Doshen Bay." A person who behaves humbly, like a Midbar, which everyone treads upon, Torah Nidna Loi B'Matana. Then he is Zeichen that the Torah is given to him as a gift. This idea, expressed in the Gemara, that the Torah is given to a gift by somebody who behaves with humility, is one of the menches of Aram Shatara Nignas Behem, another, humility. I've seen in the Sefer Yekartaferes that that is an explanation of the way we begin L'Kayin Netzar. The end of Shemayna Esra, we say, L'Kayin Netzar L'Shayni Ne'eros, L'Shayin Ne'eros, L'Shayin Ne'eros. And we say, Nafshi Ka'ofar L'Kol Tehiyah. Exactly the concept of a person treating his own honor, his own nefesh, Ka'ofar L'Kol Tehiyah, like the dust upon which everyone treads. We follow that by the bakasha, the request that a Kodesh Baruch Hu open our hearts to Torah. It follows, Namshikah Lakotia. Mother Mesa Matsumikan Midbar. Then, Torah did the Lake of Matana, which is the following, Sachlivi Bisarasach. There's a tshuva in the Mesh of Dover, the Nitzav Tshuva Sefer. The Talmud Chacham had passed on. And in his final will, in his Tavoah, he wrote that his Chidushei Torah, that which he had written when he learned the Masechta, he allowed his descendants to publish if they would want to. However, his Truvis, those letters that he had written to people to answer Shilas, that he forbade them from printing. He said when he wrote his Chidushim on the Gemara, he was into the Sugya, he was involved in the Sugya, and he's sure that what he wrote was correct. But in Truva, to a Shilas that's being asked, is different. Very often the person is not into the sugya. And therefore, he didn't trust that those truvas were reliable enough to be printed. The shaila there, asked by the children, is whether they were obligated to follow the father's command. Whether the father's directive is something that he can control, whether the Torah is his. Well, none of these are concepts of Torah. Anybody can come and take Torah. The Nitzvah bases his answer on this pasuk, the Midbar Matana, declares whether this idea that when a person works on Torah, it becomes his Torah, whether that's literal, that it becomes his Torah and he has ownership over it. He can say, don't let anybody see it, don't let anybody read it. The Nitzvah Pesach is that the Torah can't belong to a person. The Torah Hanah can belong to a person. That is, somebody who has Chidushei Torah has the right to choose where to disseminate it, who to teach it to. That he has a right. But to say, I don't want to give it to anyone, then it's his paskin that for that, it's not his. And therefore, he interprets Midbar Matana, not that the Torah itself is a Matana, is owned by him. Torah is preceded him. But rather, that the control of that Torah is something she can do. We'll be Midbar Matana. Okay, let us now come to our third topic, going back to the beginning of the parasha of Paradu. What I'd like to do is point out to you the idea of Tumas Meis and the idea in general of how Tumah affected Klal Yisrael. We grow up Golos after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and we don't realize that when Mashiach will come, and the Meher of Yomeinu, things are going to be very different. Tumah and Tahira will once again be Noeg, and therefore, everything we have is going to be divided between things that are Tameh and things that Yama and the day of Tahira, unless you want to use plastic, we're going to have a separate car that you made Tova and you made Tahira. When we're Tame, we are going to be the Tame the car. When we're Torah, we're not going to want to use it. The time that this thing applied, Tova applied, it was something very, very different. And let me present it to you by asking a question. In the end of Megillas Rus, we learn Zeis lefadim Yisrael ala gula v'ala tibur ala kayim kol dover sholas yishna aloi v'nasal reyayim. The custom was to do a kinyan chalipin. That's an exchange. Sometimes we do it today with a handkerchief. You go to sell your chavitz or ksuba. And that exchange creates a kinyan. The pasuk says the custom was sholas yishna aloi v'nasal reyayim. It wasn't done with a handkerchief. It was done with a nal. Some understand that to mean a shoe. Difficult to understand that people would take off the shoe every time they did a kinyan. It's more mistaver, it's more understandable, the pshat of David Ezra here, make a back hand shmais, that naloi means a glove. They say that when it means a shoe, the pasuk says naloi me'al ragloi. It mentions that it's referring to something on the foot, but that stam naloi is a glove. And they would take off their gloves and use it as we use a handkerchief, the kinyan chali. The question then is, why were people wearing gloves? And wearing gloves all over the place. Why? And the answer is that in a world of Tumah and Tahara, you want to wear gloves. Let's say you have a friend, he went to a Levaya. He is now an Avatoma. Mace is an Avatoma. He became an Avatoma. You shake his hand, you will become a Rishon. A human being can become a Rishon with Tumah. That is, a Mace to one human being, that human being to another. For that human being to become a Shani, other Mikael can't become Shani, but still, could easily be that a person could become Tameh from someone else. And for that reason, people wear gloves. If you wear a glove, the person shakes your hand, he's Metame the glove. The glove, which is now a Rishon, is not Metame the person. And therefore, it's likely that the custom, Zeis Lefonim Yisrael, the Jewish custom to wear gloves and have gloves available all the time, was based on the fact that the Hilchos Tumah Tahara is the wisest thing to do. People ask, after the Haftarah of Parshas Zohar, we read that Shmuel killed Agag, literally cut him in half. Shmuel was a Nazir. How could he become Tameh by killing Agag? The answer may be the same, that he wore a glove, or perhaps two gloves, so that when he killed him, the outside glove became the Yahav, the inside glove, the Rishai. And then he did not become tummy from it. I wasn't there. I don't know if he was wearing gloves. But, Lachanei Ve'esru, we go upstairs, the great video screen in heaven, and we turn to view Shmuel killing Agag, I bet you're going to see that he is wearing gloves on his hands. Zeis Lefonim Yisrael, Sholaf Yishna Aloi, with the custom to have gloves readily available, Shiach comes, bear that in mind. I think there's a difficulty, a question I had, regarding the Parsha of Paradu. When was this Parsha said? The Gemara in Gittab Sama says that the Parsha of Paraduma was taught to Klal Yisrael on the day the Mishkan was set up, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Although at Mara they had been told about Paraduma, nevertheless, this Parsha was first told to them on the first day of Nisan, and the first Paraduma ever was prepared on the second day of Nisan. Why was it not done earlier? One of the requirements of preparing the Paraduma is to have an Ayel Mayeh. And until there's a Mishkan, there can be no Paraduma. I have a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu served as Kayin Gadol for the week before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Moshe Rabbeinu should have been a Tamei Meis. If there was no Paraduma, how in the world was he able to be Mishamish as a Kayin Gadol? Especially given the fact that the obligation of Paraduma had already been taught at Mara, Shabbos, and Paraduma again. You might argue that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was careful. He wore gloves all the time. He made sure not to be tamei. However, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was Isaac with Aron HaShoyaisim. He's credited with bringing the Aron HaShoyaisim and taking it into the Midbar. And we know that Aron HaShoyaisim is Metamei. When it came to the Pesach Sheni, the people carrying the Aron of Yosef were complaining. So Moshe Rabbeinu should have been Tamei. How could he possibly serve as Kayin Gadol in the Yemei Hanimun? So this needs an explanation. With that question, we leave you. Of course, you're all thinking it could be Moshe Rabbeinu wore gloves or double gloves all along. Could be. I wish it'd be an easier terrence. Be well and great.